Have a seat. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "The kingdom of heaven has come near." In our continuing introduction, our continuing exploration of the introduction of Jesus, we now find ourselves in the Gospel of Matthew. Last Sunday, Jesus introduced himself to us through the lenses of John. We learn that Jesus is the one who confronts us with our own truth, while at the same time revealing God's desire to assist us in our spiritual journey toward that deeper truth. Today, Matthew's Jesus introduces himself to us with a wider field of vision. Our individual spiritual journey is part of a much larger reality that is both inwardly spiritual for us and outwardly effective in the benefits that it provides to our community. Matthew brings us 4 chapters into the story of Jesus before he has Jesus actually interacting and speaking with others. Prior to this chapter, Jesus was in the wilderness and spoke only with the tempter. Before that, he said one thing to John the Baptizer that situated himself in the lineage of righteousness. But now Jesus has settled himself in Capernaum and he begins to gather his community. He speaks openly with many others, and we begin to get a sense of what to expect from Matthew's Jesus. What Jesus opens with today sets the theme for his focus and his purpose in his earthly ministry. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven has come near." This phrase, "kingdom of heaven," is a theme in Matthew's gospel. He'll bring up this image throughout the narrative. Matthew's Jesus references it 31 times in 28 chapters. Jesus speaks more about the kingdom of heaven than anything else, more than sin, more than money, more than miracles. He's directing our attention to a bigger reality. Now, sometimes we'll come across Jesus wording this theme as the kingdom of God, but both refer to the same thing. As the opening statement of Jesus in this gospel, and a motif throughout, we can gather that this concept encapsulates the overall priority of the Messiah. This is the reality that God hopes to convey to all of us as our focus for our spiritual journey and our everyday interactions. The kingdom of heaven is a reality that often comes into conflict with the material reality. Unlike the material reality into which we are all drawn simply because we live in society, focuses on material priorities. God's reality of the kingdom of heaven is one that we are called to actively choose to interact with and choose to perceive to live into every day. Ultimately, this way of being and doing is what we are charged with carrying forward as Jesus' disciples. The material reality is easy to identify and describe. But what exactly is the kingdom of heaven? And how are we supposed to know it when it comes near, as Jesus says? If we leaf through Matthew's account of Jesus, we find descriptions of some of the key features. Those descriptions begin with phrases such as, "The kingdom of heaven is like," or "the kingdom of heaven can be compared to." And when we come across these markers, they signal to us to listen carefully to how Jesus will complete that description. What comes after those opening phrases is where we find the good stuff. Jesus offers us many ways to identify what the kingdom of heaven is like or to what it can be compared. Sometimes it's like someone who sowed seed in a field, and sometimes that seed is a mustard seed. One time this woman took yeast and flour and mixed them all together. Can you guess what happened? Jesus described it as a merchant in search of fine pearls and a net thrown into the sea to catch fish of every kind. He used the image of kings. one who wished to settle accounts with his slaves, and one who gave a wedding banquet for his son. The kingdom of heaven can be anything from a wealthy landowner who goes out to hire laborers for his vineyard to a group of bridesmaids who light their lamps to meet the bridegroom. The good news is that the kingdom of heaven is like a lot of things. The bad news is that Jesus never tells us exactly what it is. This is where we come into the story. While the kingdom of heaven is ubiquitous, it's not always obvious. It's represented materially, a seed, a net, a pearl, and so on, because in a material world, we're used to understanding things materially. But in God's reality, we perceive it best intuitively. How do you feel in those moments? That's how you know when the kingdom of heaven has come through. Seeing with the eyes of our hearts, listening with the ears of compassion, moving through our life experiences with empathy, charity, and generosity. When your heart is mysteriously warmed, as the Wesley brothers said, when your mind is piqued with curiosity, when you are drawn in inexplicably to something you wouldn't ordinarily be drawn into, when your heart is pulled. The spiritual practices of listening with these senses reveal the reality of the kingdom of heaven in all of the places where it comes up close to us. It takes a special effort to see the world with our spiritual senses. It's not something we're habituated to. We're all raised to experience the world in solid terms. Material evidence shapes our response because those are the things we can review after the fact to find proof. But Jesus asks us to look differently, to think differently, to act differently. As we make our way through Matthew's Jesus, we'll be given tools to engage our intuitive perception. Using reversals of norms is one way to help us reset our learned assumptions from transactional practices to mutually beneficial relationships. For example, in the kingdoms of man, war is assumed. But in the kingdom of heaven, generosity is assumed. Where conflict is inevitable in the material kingdom, patience is a given in heaven. Justice is the reversal of oppression, and hope is the reversal of despair. Moving through a world as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, we find God's divine reality is what sets the slave free. The oppressed are consoled, and the lame are fully restored because there was never anything wrong with them to begin with. Let's be clear. The great reversal of things isn't some kind of weird spiritual gaslighting. We are not being coaxed into somehow accepting that injustice is an alternative fact. No. In the divine reversal of things, we are not only encouraged to see grace in our midst, but we are encouraged to take steps to amplify it. Amplify grace. Amplify love, sharing, compassion, care. We can look to the big events that have transpired in our time to perceive God's reality. The civil rights movement of the 1960s is always a good example to cite. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King helped us to see the kingdom of heaven coming up close to us in lots of ways. More recently, the continuing normalization of neurodiversity has gifted us with fresh ways of understanding the issues of our time, providing us with opportunities to see more gifts that God has placed within our midst. There are countless more smaller moments that take place every day. Where can we find examples of the kingdom of heaven coming up close to us in Powell River? Where have you witnessed moments where differences are reconciled? Where have you seen resentment turned around by forgiveness? Tell me about that time you experienced accusations and blame being dissolved by mutual understanding. Look for these moments, and you'll begin to see God's reality. Participate in these moments, and the door to the kingdom of heaven will be opened to you. Make these moments a regular part of your daily life, and you become an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven in the world. It requires setting aside some learned behaviors. It takes practice to withhold judgment. It takes a true commitment to assume the best in others right from the start. Today, Jesus introduces us to the kingdom of heaven. The wisdom teacher won't tell us everything, and he won't give us all of the answers. We will have to apply ourselves and engage our spiritual senses. Jesus will give us hints of what that is, but no definitive definition. The work of discipleship is to take the Master's teachings and interpret them in our own time. There will be ambiguities to contend with, but it's in the struggle that we learn and that we grow. The interpretation and application of God's reality will reveal the kingdom of heaven when it comes up close. When we actively engage the world with God's reality, we help others to see it too. Instead of answering the questions, "Where have you seen the kingdom of heaven?" consider this. When have we made the kingdom of heaven more visible for others? When have we changed a moment from accusation and blame to mutual understanding? Where do we create paths for forgiveness and reconciliation in conflicted relationships into strong, mutually supportive relationships? Matthew introduces Jesus and will invite us to enter into his reality in the coming chapters. Matthew and Jesus will ask two things of God's people. One, learn to see the kingdom of heaven in the midst of everyday life events. And two, practice ways to help others enter into God's reality too. That's the good news.